The parable that Jesus tells about the wedding feast that we're given in Matthew's gospel this morning, one way to think of it is as a straightforward outline of salvation history. It's a way of thinking of, actually, I suppose, of salvation history at any moment of one's life. God the Father is the king who issues the invitations. Jesus is the bridegroom, and the feast is salvation and eternal life that the prophet Isaiah foresees in our first reading. We're reminded that God is calling all people. God our Father is calling to this eternal banquet, it's an image, every person who ever lived. And this is really then also an image of the church, which is called to gather all peoples, all nations, into Jesus Christ. What we heard in the parable is that some of the invited guests fell into the sin, which is very common at the root of almost every sin. And it's the sin of our ingratitude toward God, the sin of failing to recognize that at every moment of our lives, all we are, all we have, all we can possibly hope for comes to us as a total gift from God. Now, some of the invited guests were so busy enjoying the peace and prosperity of the kingdom that they were forgetting to honor the king himself, even going so far as to abuse the king's messengers. And they were cutting themselves off from the king. And as a result, they cut themselves off from the peace and prosperity that the king had been so generously providing. We can ask ourselves, does any of this echo in our own times, possibly in some way in our own situation? But there's also a second level of ingratitude to God. In ancient times, for a wedding, one didn't just send out one invitation. Two invitations were sent. The first announcement, the first invitation, was a general announcement of the good news. It didn't even specify the date of the event. And then later on, when all the preparations were in place, a second invitation would go out, giving the specifics of the day and the place of the banquet. The guests who refused to come to the wedding were actually rejecting in the parable the second invitation. They'd already accepted the first invitation, so they were not only insulting the king by refusing to come, but they were, in a certain sense, going back on their word. At one level, this parable definitely applies, if you think about it historically, to the Jewish leaders at the time of Jesus, to the people of Israel who, over several millennia, had accepted God's promises, the promises that we read about in the Old Testament, but now they were rejecting the fulfillment of all those promises, the fulfillment of all the promises who comes in the person of Jesus Christ. And then on another level, and I think certainly it's the case today, this parable can apply to all of us Catholics, actually to all Christians who are baptized and who grow up in the faith. You might say they've accepted God's gift of the faith, but then later on in life, when they're asked to put that faith into action, in particular by way of charity, and so this would be responding to the faith with love of God and love of neighbor, self-sacrifice for God and for neighbor and all that's involved. When they're asked to put that faith into action, they refuse to take the risk. And maybe it's because this applies to us. We might be too busy enjoying the good life. Maybe because some of Jesus' teachings are a little inconvenient, maybe inconsistent with the lifestyle, with poor decisions that we may be making. What stands out in all of this is, of course, the mystery of human freedom. human freedom is one of the specific gifts that we are given as human beings. It's one of the things that distinguishes us from other animals. God totally respects our freedom. Remember, God gives us humans freedom so that we may always choose what is right and what is good, that we may always choose what is true and beautiful. Our freedom may never be used to choose evil. We may never, for example, use our freedom to support politicians who are constructing the culture of death. Those who whose policies, programs, regulations, and laws now are actively threatening our religious freedom as Catholics and other believers in this country, something that our Catholic bishops are now taking up. We obviously never support persons who are undermining God's law on family and marriage. We would never want to support anyone who undermines marriage as a sacred covenant between one man and one woman. Our human freedom may never be used to choose evil. And the reality is that you and I, every day, we have to be ready to sacrifice our comfort, to sacrifice our good name, to sacrifice our financial well-being, and of course, we have to be ready to sacrifice our lives to uphold these simple principles on the dignity of human persons. Otherwise, we ourselves in some way become less human. We become less and less the human persons God has made us to be. In an evil, thoughtful, thoughtless, self-centered actions, we can actually destroy within us the likeness of God, and that likeness of God, which constitutes a crucial element of our own sacred dignity as human beings. God never forces us, He always invites us. He showers His gifts on us, which sometimes mean that we can get distracted by the gifts rather than showing our gratitude to the giver, to the Lord of Lords, and to the King of Kings. One more point on the wedding banquet. The custom in ancient times was for the host to provide some sort of garment for all the guests. It might be just a simple scarf or shawl, which would be a sign of unity of everyone there. And if the guest didn't have this wedding garment, if the guest did not put on the wedding garment, then possibly they had sneaked into the event without an invitation. Maybe they just wanted to enjoy the food and drink, doing their own thing. But in any event, they wouldn't really be in relationship with the bride and the groom. Now, what does this have to do with you and me? Well, I think that when you and I try to follow Christ in a half-hearted way or in a minimal way, certainly without seeking to be obedient to everything He asks, without accepting the teaching of His church, without being willing to sacrifice every day for our faith, what we're doing is just trying to participate in this wedding banquet without putting on the garment. We're looking to gorge ourselves on the food and drink while we might be doing our own thing in our own way. We know that Christianity is not some sort of self-service buffet where we can pick and choose according to our personal preference and lifestyle. Being a follower of Jesus Christ begins with the revelation of God. It's about understanding and living in our hearts and in our whole being our relationship with God. Following Jesus requires you and me to get with His program 100%, to follow the path that He lays out for us, to seek to form our consciences completely according to what He teaches us. In essence, to be sure that He is always number one in our lives. To be sure that He is number one even on Sundays, that He's definitely more important than a Bears game, a Packers game. And we must seek to grow closer to Him every day. This morning when I was getting my coffee in the kitchen, I was able to hear part of Pope Benedict's homily on this gospel passage. And he cites Pope St. Gregory the Great, who lived at the end of the 6th century. And Pope St. Gregory the Great looks at this parable, and he looks at that wedding garment, and he said, this is one way to think of the wedding garment in the parable, is as charity. In other words, everything that has been given to us, these are people who've been given faith, but their hearts are not effectively impacted with the charity of Christ. Their hearts are not impacted with the fullness of Christ. So they will not lead lives which return that charity, that love to God and to neighbor in a self-sacrificial way. So Pope St. Gregory the Great says, that's what's lacking. What's lacking to participate in the banquet as we all hope to, is charity. Faith, a simple kind of faith, is not enough. There has to be charity, self-sacrificial charity. What's the best way for you and I to get ready for this eternal wedding banquet? Again, using the image of this garment, it's for us to be properly dressed. It's for us to be ready for the greatest participation in the eternal heavenly banquet that is already accessible to us on earth. And it is the Mass. And it's in the Mass that the same God the Father, who is inviting us to heaven, calls us within invitations that are inscribed in Jesus' own blood. And the way you and I respond to the Mass, and I guess another way I would say this, is the way our hearts respond to the Mass in the sense of our hearts recognizing everything that God gives us. The way we prepare ourselves for the eternal encounter with God is the best indication of how you and I are responding to the invitation, that we get fully dressed, fully ready for heaven.